Monster Man, Episode 236, Pyrolisk and Quasi-Elemental Lightning. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the P&Q chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. In today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at the last P monster and the first Q, but before we do that, it's time to thank a new supporter. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've subscribed for as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's subscriber, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I take a look at the Deities and Demigods book and examine how to use religion and mythology in your role-playing games. So thank you very much to new Patreon supporter Orcus Dorcas. Your support really means a lot to me. All right. Our first monster for today is the Pyrolisk. Now, the Pyrolisk is a little bit like a cockatrice, which is a bit confusing because the name would suggest that it's a little bit like a basilisk. But as I've established previously, the basilisk and the cockatrice aren't really all that distinguishable in their original sources, so never mind that. Now, the Pyrolisk doesn't poison you or turn you to stone like those other monsters. Instead, what it does is that if it looks at you, it lights you on fire. I can't decide whether this is a gacha monster or not, because on the one hand, it's not a cockatrice. It doesn't turn you to stone or poison you, which I can't remember which one is which. I think the cockatrice turns you to stone if it looks at you, whereas the Pyrolisk lights you on fire. Now, dead means dead. So the survival tactic that you would have developed to deal with cockatrices, i.e. don't look at them, is perfectly applicable to the Pyrolisk. I do love the personality, which is that the Pyrolisk will frequently use its pyrotechnics power just for the sheer love of things being on fire, which is something that's just a very minor detail in the description that really helps give a little bit more personality to this monster and sort of distinguishes it from the other various fire-themed monsters. I like that a lot. Now, there's also what I hope is a typo in this monster's description, because the Monster Manual 2 says that the Pyrolisk has 43 hit dice, you know, which makes it a godlike creature, which is not really what the rest of the description would seem to imply, although there's one reservation to that. I think it's far more likely that the Pyrolisk has, you know, 4 or 3 hit dice. And I wouldn't have a second thought about saying that that's what this means, except for one other detail in the monster entry, which is that the Pyrolisk considers its natural enemy to be the Phoenix. Now, I want you to cast your mind back to a few episodes ago when we talked about the Phoenix. The Phoenix with its negative AC, with its vast suite of magical powers, with its ability to like turn invisible and fly super fast. The Phoenix, which is a real serious opponent for relatively high level characters. The Pyrolisk, yeah, the Pyrolisk, thinks its natural enemy is the Phoenix. Okay, James, you say, I don't see what's so funny about this. Well, perhaps that's because you don't know that the Pyrolisk is armor class 6, can fly at 18 compared to the Phoenix's 40, has one attack that does 1d4 damage, and has really only one special ability worth mentioning, which is its ability to light things on fire, which the Phoenix is, of course, completely immune to. You can light the Phoenix on fire, and it will not care. It's a Phoenix. So the Pyrolisk has decided that its arch enemy is the Phoenix, which is a little bit like me deciding that my archenemy is like, I don't even know. I don't know enough about sports to like know who's an instantly recognizable heavyweight boxer. It's like me deciding that my archenemy is Bruce Lee. I mean, he's not doing so great now, but it's just completely unbalanced. The Pyrolisk has decided that it's gonna like destroy, if it ever gets a chance to, a creature that the Pyrolisk could fight for ages and not really like have the Phoenix become aware of it. I think it only hits a Phoenix on a natty 20, and it doesn't, its gaze attack doesn't work on it. So, I mean, and again, this tells me more about the personality of the Pyrolisk. I love this little guy. He loves to set things on fire. He dreams big. He doesn't really realize that his pyrotechnics power aren't really all that damaging. He just likes to make it go boom, boom, fire, fire. and that makes him feel powerful and big. And he just, you know, he looks at the phoenix, which is all beautiful and elegant. It comes from a higher plane. And then he looks at himself and he's like a dumb fire chicken. And he's like, yeah, you're not so tough. One of these days, Phoenix, one of these days I'm going to get you. One of these days I'm going to turn the fiery gaze on you and then you'll be sorry. There's a certain idiotic charm to that. It's really putting me in a more favorable mood toward the Pyrolisk. So that's good, I guess. Next up, we have the quasi-elemental lightning, which, judging from the phrasing elsewhere in its entry, is really a quasi-elemental comma lightning. Now, I want to make this clear. This isn't a para-elemental. Oh no, para-elementals and quasi-elementals are completely different. And if you'd like to know how they're different, like para-elementals, quasi-elementals emerge kind of from the intersection of two planes, but they're different kinds of planes. So a quasi-elemental exists where the positive material plane intersects with the plane of air, which is to say essentially like they're a combination of elemental power and like magical energy. I'm not really sure, but essentially they're spirits of lightning and they congregate in areas around lightning storms. Mechanically, they have some interesting features. They're able to conjure, like, or generate, I guess, balls of ball lightning, which can, you know, move around and attack people separately from them. They can arc into objects, right? The same way that, like, you can imagine electricity arcing into something. So even, it kind of gives them an additional move. If they move close enough to a conductive object, they can just kind of zap right into it. That's kind of neat. But we don't really know anything about their goals or motivations. I don't think they have goals or motivations, right? They're sort of natural forces more than anything else. So they're more something that you might encounter when you're up in the sky, like on a cloud castle or in your flying ship or something like that, and there's a mighty lightning storm. You're like, ah, here we are in the heights of the brave Empyrean, soaring over the land below. And we've gone so high above the ground that we're almost in this magical realm where this plane is going to start to intersect with the planes that are above it. And I kind of like that, you know? I mean, again, they're sort of a hazard monster for a type of journey that isn't really foreseen in the original Monster Manual. You're not going to run into lightning quasi-elementals when you're just, you know, trekking your way across the mountains to bring the much-needed elixir to the besieged castle. By the point that you're running into this, we're definitely in, like, Flying Horse Night Squad or, you know, setting out on a journey to the upper plains, and that's nice. You know, it gives them, there's definitely a sense of, like, of mystery. There, you might say, if you were feeling uncharitable, which I sometimes am, but an uncharitable reader might say, yeah, these monsters are under-described. But a more generous reading would be that they're enigmatic, they're alien. They do stuff for lightning quasi-elemental reasons, and player characters aren't necessarily privy to those. They indicate that you're moving out of that world of just kind of, oh, this thing wants to eat you, this thing wants your gold, and into a world where things operate according to magical laws that you maybe don't fully understand. What they kind of remind me of is Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters, I mean, not the band, but the whatevers they are that were reported by aircraft pilots during World War II. Just supposed to be some kind of atmospheric phenomenon or something like that, or maybe just a folktale, but weird little glowing balls of light accompanying aircraft. Nice to have the characters up there in their airship, and then they just see these strange things dancing around their masts or whatever, and they think, oh yeah, we're not just in an aeroplane. This is a magical thing in a magical place, and there are magical creatures up here. And then maybe you just also have to contend with them while the Sky Pirates are using the cover of the lightning storm to try and board your craft and steal all your doubloons and throw you over the side. So you can do something interesting with them, even if, on the surface, I feel like there isn't as much of a hook as there could be. Alright, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be dealing with more Q creatures as we continue our journey through Monster Manual 2, and also, we're going to have a couple of special episodes to complete the Monster Man Holiday Boss Rush. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.